finale. We coming through with the Madden family, and only the baddest athletes gonna survive. NFL fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL. Heading into the last week of the regular season here in crazy year 2020 in a lot of ways. Didn't think that we'd get here maybe, but we've gotten here. A few little bumps in the road, but we're heading into week 17 and we have a lot of potential playoff implications with the games this week. So we have our standard four-man booth. I am your host, the Cowboy, joined, as always, by our young gun, Cardinals fan. Got a little help. We got a little help this week. A little hurt, and then a little help. But how you doing, Ryder?
Good.
You excited for the big game this week?
Yes.
Who do you like? Cardinals. What was that?
Cardinals.
Go Cardinals. Kyler Murray versus John Wofford. It's going to be good. You going to watch with me?
Yes.
All right. Next up, my host since the beginning, Mr. John D'Amato. How you doing, John? Also a team that has a possibility at the playoffs.
I'm speechless about that, but great to be with you guys. Hope you had a great Christmas. Have a great New Year. And let's get into it. It's going to be an interesting last week of the season. A lot of scenarios that we're going to shoot.
Absolutely. And then last but never least, with his new earbuds and microphone, he is no longer on the payphone outside Gillette Stadium. Loud and proud, Cowboy Senior. How you doing, Cowboy Senior?
Well, you know, I'm nice and warm here in the studio. It was a little cold out there on Route 1, so this was a good time to move in.
Man, but, you sound good.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'm fired up. I mean, this is there's going to be games this week that are basically like playoff games, elimination games. This is it. This is where the rubber meets the road. Here we go.
So you and I, Senior, are the only guys on the show here without a dog looking for a playoff spot.
I'm not going to complain about it. We've had a pretty good run. I'm not going to be an idiot and complain. We'll be back.
It's pretty ugly, though, huh? On Monday night, pretty ugly.
Yeah, kind of as expected.
Agreed. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about the games that really matter here. But before we do, as you know, we're over here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network, and we love our home. And we appreciate it. Now that we're at the end of the year here, we want to give a little appreciation to the North-South boys. For giving our show a home, bringing our message to the people, as they say. And without further ado, I'm going to hand things over to my man, John D'Amato, who's going to talk about a couple of the other shows we have here on the North-South.
All right. Being selfish, of course, myself, Justin and Jenny, the king and the queen of the podcasts, do the Extreme Three-Way Dance. We talked about ECW television from November 21st to 12-26, 1995. A lot of hot stuff there. Then the boys, Aaron, JT, and Josh Risher. What a trio. Do the gang gets an always, It's Always Sunny podcast, episode number 8, where they're already in season 2, episode 1 of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. A funny show and three funny guys. And then No Holds Barred podcast number episode 47, A Very Wonka Christmas, where Aaron George watches Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for the first time, and him and Justin do a live watch of that. That's pretty special right there. The Second Print Comics podcast with Mark Claire, episode 21, dropped, to How Flashpoint Changed the DC Universe. Always a great listen for you comic book fans. And the last one was TNA Never Dies, number 17. Aaron, JT, and Jenny, a very busy trio and a very entertaining trio, discuss NWA, TNA, 10-23-02. And that's about it to bring out the year.
Thank you so much, John. And yeah, check out that content, folks. It's all very good. So we want to get right into it here and talk about the different matchups we have this week with playoff implications. With the addition of the 7th seed this year, we have a lot of stuff up in the air, a lot more than we usually do going into week 17. So let's start off in the AFC. In the AFC, we have really four teams fighting it out for the final three playoff spots. You have Miami, Baltimore, and Cleveland in as of now, with Indianapolis on the outside looking in. Indianapolis needs to win their game against Jacksonville, so they should win that game, and needs one of the other three teams to lose. Miami at Buffalo, Baltimore's playing at Cincinnati, and Cleveland home for Pittsburgh in a game that the immortal Mason Rudolph, who we've talked about a lot on the show this year, will be starting for the Steelers after the Steelers finally woke up out of their slumber and got a really nice win against the Colts with a very good second half. They finally, after, you know, 4 weeks or so of not having an offense, played much better. Some of that, the Colts defense could have played better there too. But Senior, I'm going to go to you first. So out of those, assuming Indianapolis is going to win, right? And Indianapolis should destroy Jacksonville. Do you see any of those other three teams losing, or do you think that blowing that lead against Pittsburgh costs Indianapolis the playoffs?
Well, you know, you'll kind of feel for them because it's kind of hard to, you know, you go 11-5, generally you make the playoffs, but you know, the way they lost that game, with all due respect to that, the Steelers and Ben, I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden he was able to throw the ball downfield and they played really well. But there's all kind of things you can question about Indy. Their defense failing. The fact that they got away from their running game, I don't understand it. Taylor was running real effective in the first half. All of a sudden in the second half, they just stopped trying to run the ball and they had a good lead. That none of that made any sense to me. But anyway, they still have a chance to be their one and only chance, definitely best chance, is that, jeepers, Buffalo keeps their starters in a while, long enough to beat Miami, which is possible. McDermott's not telling us anything yet, so. But if he at least plays his starters for a half, as good as that Buffalo offense can be, it's definitely in the realm of possibility that they build up a big enough lead and be able to hold Miami off, as Miami doesn't score a ton of points. I think that's their best chance. I don't see either of the other teams losing. If you ask me to guess right now, I say Indy's out.
Cincinnati on the big two-game winning streak.
Yeah. Well, come on. Really?
Ryder,
really?
You think Cincinnati's got a chance to beat Lamar in a must win for the playoffs game for the Ravens?
No.
The Ravens are peaking at the right time. The Ravens are playing great. I know Cincinnati's playing great for Cincinnati. This is the Ravens playing to make the playoffs, and they're hot. There's no way they're gonna lose to the Bengals.
So just posing the question. That's all. That's what we're here to do, uh-huh. John. So senior officially thinks Buffalo over Miami would be the best chance, but does not think it's going to happen. He has all four teams winning and the Indianapolis on the outside looking in at 11-5. What say you, Mr. D'Amato?
Yeah, I can't add much more to that. The slightest bit of chance that maybe Buffalo drives hard to bust out their division opponent, but even if you get like a quarter or a half of Josh Allen, their backup is Matt Barkley. that's a rough one. I don't see it happening. But that would be the best chance. Pretty much, you know, all my senior hit on everything. I got the same thing, that Baltimore's peaking. I don't think there's a very, very, very slim chance of losing to Cincinnati. And what's the other one?
Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Yeah, with Mason Rudolph, Cleveland's going to get their receivers back. They're gonna be hopped up. You know that bitter loss to the Jets where they could have clinched the playoffs. But with those division games, you never know. You know, a turnover or something in the first half. The longer the game stays close, then maybe like even with the backups playing hard and the team that's supposed to win with the starters get a little you know, get a little nervous, start feeling the pressure. There's strange things can happen, but yeah, I'm with Senior. That's the best bet. The first chance would be Buffalo beating Miami. Slightly behind them would be Pittsburgh beating Cleveland, although they're really going to rest. That's the only chance Pittsburgh to win a first round playoff game is to totally rest. Put Big Ben's friggin' arm in a cryogenic chamber for a week, and he come out and pull something. That's their only chance to win a playoff game is that. So you can't really blame them for resting. So that's number two. And yeah, number three, I don't see the Ravens. They're really peaking at the right time. So I don't see them going to Cincinnati. So it looks like the Colts are going to be out.
How about you, Ryder? What do you think? What do you think is going to happen there? You think the Colts, all four teams win and the Colts are out, or do you think one of those teams is going to lose?
Maybe the Dolphins win.
Lose.
Yeah.
So you think potentially the Dolphins could lose?
Yes.
I think potentially the Browns could lose too, even to the Steelers' backups. Yeah. You hate to like look historically. I mean, this is. I know that they were missing their wide receivers, but they did lose to the Jets last week, and
yeah.
I mean, they couldn't run the ball for whatever reason against the Jets last week. Even without the receivers, it's a pretty bad loss in a game.
Yeah, and not only that, their defense didn't stop the Jets when they had to. And the turnovers at the end was on Baker, so you can't really blame it all on the receivers. It's really, you can't use that as an excuse. The Jets took it to them, man.
And I know we've trashed Mason Rudolph. I have trashed Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
But if you believe in any kind of narrative, this would be a Mason Rudolph revenge game for the thing that happened for Myles Garrett hitting him in the head with the helmet. Right? Like, I mean, what if Rudolph is ever going to come out and play a good game and be extra motivated, he would be pretty motivated to knock Myles Garrett out of the playoffs. Again, not saying that stuff really matters, but it does add a little bit where maybe the Steelers aren't just going through the motions. So,
not just the helmet thing. We discussed it in the past. I don't want to reiterate it.
That
was really shitty, yeah, what Myles Garrett did.
The
accusation was really shitty. Really defamed his character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, you say what you want about the guy as a football player, but, yeah. You know, no need to go elsewhere. I think Indy gets in. Because I think either Buffalo or Cleveland is good. I mean, I'm sorry, or Miami or Cleveland is going to lose. I really, really disagree with Miami starting Tua in this game, especially if Allen's only going to play a half or whatever. Like the offense, like, doesn't really seem to score points with Tua. I think if they're really trying to win this year, which they are, right? I think it's okay to say Two is the future, and Fitzpatrick gives you the best chance to win right now.
But it's not necessarily
pulling the kid when the game, you know, if it's a tight game in the third or fourth quarter, you take him out anyway. I mean, is that really helping him out?
Nah, it's not necessarily who starts, it's who finishes. But they know that Two is the future. But you know, for right now, so sometimes the best thing for the team is for Fitz to be in there. I don't think it'll hurt his confidence.
All the time. That's what I'm saying. They should just be starting Fitzpatrick.
They've won a lot of games with Tua. You know, when he started, they were winning with him playing, and he hasn't gotten yanked every game. And one thing he really does do is take care of the ball. And you know, I love Fitz. I'm with you. I really like Fitz, but I like Tua too. But would you be that shocked? They throw Fitz in as the starter, and he has a Fitz game where he throws three picks, because that happens to Fitz sometimes. We all know that. Where Tua totally takes care of the ball.
Buffalo.
It's worked for him. This has worked for him. I don't think they're going to change it.
The way Buffalo.
Obviously, they aren't.
Playing, if Allen plays the first half and Barkley plays the second, that's probably good for 28 points, I would say. for the game. I mean, Allen's good. I mean, I think, I mean, John said this a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, now it's not like a, it's not a revelatory thing to say, or but I mean, they're playing like the best team in football. I mean, they're playing better than Kansas City right now. Like, I think if you match them up head to head, I mean, it's tough not to pick the Bills. They're playing so well. That offense looks pretty unstoppable. So if Allen plays the first half, I mean, you can't expect Miami to really hold them down. And then with Tua at quarterback, I mean, he throws all to he protects the ball because he doesn't throw the ball downfield at all. What did he? I mean, that was the Raiders' pitiful, awful defense. That it was, he was checked down Charlie. What was he, 15 for 17 for friggin' 60 yards or something at halftime? It's, if he plays that way, if he play that way against the Bills and Josh Allen plays a little bit, by the time you bring Fitz in, the game might be over. The game could be over at halftime. I mean, that's just, it's just my feeling. And I mean, I
think Flores has a little more. I mean, the Bills' offense is high powered, but I think Flores has a little more faith in his defense than that. They got a really good defense. To say that Josh is probably going to put up 28 points and a half, I mean,
it's an okay defense.
He could play a good half, and they could score 14. You know?
I didn't say 28 and a half. I said him and Barkley with Josh play. I said that would be 28 for the game.
Barkley's liable to give the Dolphin defense 2 or 3 touchdowns. I mean, he's terrible, Raj.
He's not that bad.
He sucks. He's a
check down guy. I mean, it's,
he might be worse than Mason Rudolph. I mean, he's really bad.
I don't think he's that bad. But I mean, we'll see. To me, if it's a win in your in situation, I don't know why you're not going with Fitzpatrick. It doesn't make sense to me against Buffalo. I mean, maybe I'll be proved wrong and Tua will come out and light the world on fire. But I mean, I would say the Patriots defense is at least as good as Buffalo's. The Patriots offense sucks, but the Pats defense has been pretty good all year. And I mean, Allen, I mean, that was a hot knife through butter. They dropped, what, 3 touchdown passes? I mean, they should have scored 50 points.
Yeah, the Pats secondary isn't as good without Gilmore, obviously. And I think overall Miami's defense has had a better season than the Pats defense. Miami's got a really good defense.
Yeah, we saw that.
They lost Roberts, Landon Roberts is one of their top guys on defense. Yeah. They lost him. Yeah. He's out.
Yeah, that was a nasty thing.
And another
87-yard touchdown to Nelson Aguilar, 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, I mean, stuff happens, but they do have a good D.
Another thing, Buffalo, they may want to just keep that winning feeling, that momentum. They just want to keep. They may want to keep it going. You see a lot of times that these teams when they rest and then they got to play the next week, they don't get it back. So they might.
Oh, agreed. And
well,
it's
that's different. That's different. If they decide to really go with Allen. That's why I said that was the best chance of a team.
It's a divisional game, too. Like, this, I mean, in theory, these are the two teams. These two teams are going to be the class of that division for a while. Do you want to just give them a free pass into the playoffs?
And also to get the 2 seed.
I like
so that way.
With the game.
And also, it's important.
You talked yourself right into that. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
To get the 2 seed so they could put off playing Kansas City until the championship game. If they get the 2 seed, you know, they fight for that. That way they don't got to play Kansas City that second week. Looking at, you know, that's looking way far ahead. Obviously, that first week they'll get the game at home, but then they could avoid playing them in that second game. They'll play them in the championship game instead of the second game, so they get an extra round without having to face the Chiefs.
Buffalo's winning the game. I think that's our analysis, the four of us. I think that's kind of the conclusion we've come to. Right, Ryder?
I haven't come to that conclusion.
All right.
I'm on the fence. It's kind of hard to predict when you don't know.
Because you don't know what they're going to do. That's right.
Yeah.
But the fact, I think if they were going all out to win, I think McDermott would have just answered the question flat out like the other coaches are. Like, yeah, we're playing to win.
Well, honestly.
Putting it off, not answering the question. I mean, he knows what he's going to do.
But I mean, you could look at it like a little Belichickian, right? Where if you're playing to win, the best thing to do is to not say that. Because now you, like, what you're, the team's got to prepare for different things.
I think that's a reach, but it's possible. I don't think Josh is playing the whole game.
This is probably Buffalo by double digits.
Now it's up to double digits. By the time the show ends, it's going to be 45-3 Bills.
The Bills are going to come jump out to a lead. Fitz will have a try to get a comeback going late, but it'll be they waited too long. They waited too long to go with the veteran. So that's my prediction. I'm going to predict that Miami is on the outside looking in. But who gets in if both Pittsburgh and Buffalo win? Do you guys know? I don't know off the top of my head. Would it be Cleveland or the Dolphins? Like who? If they both lose,
it's you such know, a long shot that I'm not sure. We'd have to look it up.
Yeah. Well, I guess it would be based on whoever's seeded higher now, right? That would most likely
Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are seeded higher now.
They are.
Yeah.
Miami would.
This
is a real long shot that you get both of those things happening.
Yeah, Cleveland will be ass out if that happens. Cleveland will be ass out.
So Cleveland really just needs to win that. I mean, they have no outs. They win, win or go
home. They got no, I mean, you take back this second half and think of the way the Steelers, with their frontline players, have been playing lately. And they're not playing their frontline players. I don't see Cleveland laying that egg. I really don't. I mean, this is a playoff game for them. You're winning, you're in, and you're going against the second unit. They're going to win. They're a better team than that. They are.
I mean, I guess the other side of that coin is it was the exact same scenario last week, and they lost to the Jets.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a tough situation to go into with your team without, it's guys that have barely played in the NFL that are playing receiver. So the Jets stacked up against the run, I mean, literally, the only guy with any experience was Marvin Hall, who was with the Lions a few weeks ago, and he's a nobody. And other than that, it was guys off the practice squad.
Baker, what does
that the way that happened all during the week psychologically?
Baker had 27 targets to his tight ends. Ten targets to eat all three of his tight ends apiece.
And I'm not saying the Jets are good, but come on, like Mason Rudolph or Sam Darnold, you know the Jets frontline players are better than Pittsburgh's backups. Yeah. They're not clear. The Browns are not going to lose this game.
All right, so I'm with you, Senior. I agree. It wouldn't shock me if they lost, but the official pick would be a Cleveland win there. So I have Cleveland, Baltimore, and Indianapolis making the playoffs with Miami on the outside looking in. You two guys both have Miami, Baltimore, and Cleveland. Ryder, are you with me, or do you think Miami wins that game? I know you're on the fence. I need you to make an official pick.
Miami loses.
Ryder's with his unk. Good call, buddy. It's the side you want to be on. All right, next
riding
up.
With Barkley.
Next up, speaking of Ryder, his team is in the thick of another similar kind of situation where, they had the big loss last week to San Francisco. And really, it was a must-win game. And, I mean, that was about as big an egg as the Cardinals could have laid. They played awful. John's calls for Kingsbury's head 6 weeks ago are now coming out in the national media. They played a bad game, right, Ryder?
Yeah.
You were not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not happy. We watched the game together, and it was the first time. I can tell you, for me, probably the worst day of my life as a sports fan, where it really, really impacted me, in my everyday life for a little extended period of time, was probably the best day of John's life as a sports fan, which was when the Patriots lost to the Giants for the and blew the perfect season. I lived in Arizona at the time. I didn't have a lot of scratch at that time, as they say. So I didn't go to the game, but I was about 10 minutes from the game. And I was in a room full of people who hate the Patriots because, you know, I was in Phoenix and not a lot of other New Englanders there. And I hated every second of that. I was a mess for like 3 days. After that, I kicked my car and put this big dent in my car. I finally saw a little bit of that with Ryder, with this Cardinals loss. We were talking afterwards, and, you know, he basically was just like, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Am I right, buddy? You were mad.
Yeah.
You were mad, and I think what made Ryder mad was not so much that they lost the game, but just that they came out without any passion, without any fire, right? They kind of – it's not like San Francisco won the game. The Cardinals just stunk. Am I right? But the Cardinals are very fortunate that the Rams also failed to take care of business in a game that we all picked them in. Everyone but Ryder picked them in. So job. Now that sets up Cardinals-Rams. Winner gets in. If the Cardinals lose, they're out. And that's it. If the Rams lose, they can still get in with a Green Bay win over Chicago. The Cardinals couldn't be more fortunate in this situation. Jared Goff, while not exactly playing well lately, is not going to be able to play in this game due to a thumb surgery. So you have the backup, who is and never taken an NFL snap, I believe, John Wolford. And then Shake and Blake Bortles will be behind him if things really go off the rails. So that's pretty ugly. And then it just came out today that Cooper Kupp was placed on the COVID list, so he's also not going to play. So the Cardinals get to play the Rams without their, you know, with no offense essentially. Oh, and
Henderson.
Daryl Henderson also on the IR. So
Akers is questionable too, right?
Yeah, so at best, they'll have a banged-up Cam Akers. So, I mean, and the Arizona defense has been playing pretty well, and they played pretty well against San Francisco as well. So, I mean, they really should hold the Rams to, like, 13 points or less in this game, which means that Kyler, who's going to be a little banged up but is playing, Kyler, D-Hop, and the boys, I think if they get to 20, they win this one. They only got to 12 last week. So, John, I'm going to go to you first because you're the you're really the Cardinals hater on this show. Always, even when they play well, he's always kind of kicking a little dirt up at Ryder. Oh, they should have won by more. Kingsbury's awful. Do you think the Rams defense is good enough to win this game without missing all those pieces on offense?
They are. But I'm not going to pick him because I don't recall John Wolford's performance in the AAF. I watched a couple AAF games, but I don't remember how well he played. So I can't in good conscience pick the Rams with all their injuries on offense. But I do see a path to them happening because, come on, look at the history. McVay's totally owned the Cardinals. He totally owns Kingsbury's playbook. All the games they played, they haven't been competitive. So I do see a path where the Rams could pull out a 16 or 13, an ugly one, with you know, forcing a couple of Kyler turnovers. But I'm going to pick your boys, Ryder. I'm going with Big Red to pull it out.
Ryder, that was the least confident and the least respectful thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you tell him? Tell him we don't want you to pick us. Do you want his support?
No,
not at all, right? Yeah,
you need a new coach, Ryder. Get a new coach. That's all I got to say. There's good coaches out there. Jump on Robert Saleh for Cardinals coach next year.
Giants fan throwing all the shit. Giants fan.
Yeah, you guys whipped us.
We'll go to you next. Who do you like in this one?
Cardinals.
Yes?
Yes.
All right. And Give me a final score. Say it loudly into the microphone.
28-17.
Wow, 28 on the Rams. That'll be impressive, man.
For the Rams, I think to get to 17.
21. I don't know.
28. Don't let him talk you out of your pick. They have a good defense. But you got to remember, the Rams have an offense that's going to go three and out a whole bunch of times.
Plus, they might turn it over. Yeah, they might turn it over.
I mean, you saw what this swarming Cardinals defense did to the Giants offense, if you remember. This version of the Rams offense is going to be much worse than that Giants offense.
Supposedly, Wolford is a little more mobile. Is mobile, so you may see some running. Yeah,
Dimes can run.
He was banged up. He's been banged up. Now he can't run now. So,
all right, senior.
Yeah, Wolford should definitely be healthy. He hasn't played much football.
Yeah, I mean, senior.
Well, it sets up nice for the Cardinals. You got to admit it. Now you got this guy with no experience. Now you get this news today about Kupp, and a lot of times you get a quarterback that, you know, is feeling his way in, and Kupp would be that security blanket kind of guy to throw underneath those. That's who he is, right? Those little routes underneath in the middle, the slot guy, and now he doesn't have him. The one thing the Cardinals defense does have to show up, though. Like you say, last week they played well, but they did get kind of gashed on the ground last week. You know, San Francisco really ran the ball effectively on them now.
I said they played decent.
I mean, a banged up Cam Akers, a Brown. I mean, if there's holes, running backs are going to be able to run through them. So that's the one thing. They can't let the Rams run the ball down their throats.
I mean, the Niners' run offense is generally good. The Rams, generally not good, except for the one game Cam Akers had against the...
Yeah, I'm just saying that's a little caveat to watch for. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. And the other thing you got to look out for is, I mean, I know there was questions about Kyler playing. You got to hope Kyler, we know he's playing now. We got to hope he has his mobility, because he's not really anywhere near as effective if he doesn't have his mobility. Those are the two little things. But all that being said, everything points that the Big Red should win this game. It would be a really bad loss. So I'm going to say 20-10, Big Red.
Just remember, down to a score. Seven in a row. Rams have beaten the Cardinals seven. And also, Jalen Ramsey has totally shut down D-Hop. He totally owns that matchup. So just a couple things to watch for.
We've thrown a few
low-scoring game. But I mean, it's real tough to pick the Rams without.
Yeah, if you never see Wolford play, I know it's.
Especially, I know the game is going on at the same time, but I mean, there's a possibility that Green Bay kicks the shit.
Right,
and
then the Rams will shut it down. Right, that's another reason why I'm not picking them.
They literally have nothing to play for, right? Yeah. And they'll, you know. So that brings us to our next game, and I'm surprised it's taken us this long to talk about the Bears. But the Bears, another win where the offense was excellent. 41 points. I mean, I know it was Jacksonville, but
that Mitch we trust.
3 weeks in a row. I mean, there was a little, you know, you don't want to overreact, but you know, Trubisky did go number two overall for a reason, right? He's had the tools. He's just never, it seems like he's kind of never put it together, and he always kind of didn't have that feel for the game like that some of the other guys do. But I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, but over the last 3 weeks, he has looked like a starting NFL quarterback. Like, he deserves to be a starting NFL quarterback, which you wouldn't have said before that. And I mean, their offense is playing really good, and they have a good defense. So, man, and they're in a nice spot in that they're not in a nice spot. It's the Rams who are in a nice spot. The Bears have to beat Green Bay to get in, And Green Bay will 100% be playing for something, right? Because the New Orleans and Seattle games are going on at the same time. And so
they want that top. They want to be at home. They want to be in Lambeau for the playoffs.
And,
yeah, Green
Bay's and get the bye.
The number bye one seed gets the bye is the only seed that gets the bye. So, and Green Bay in a matchup that on paper looked like was going to be this shootout. And I don't know if the snow had something to do with it, but I mean, Green Bay came out and did what they were, what we thought they would do against Tennessee's sieve of a defense. But then Green Bay's defense played real well, shut down Henry. So they have another tall task in front of them with Montgomery. David Montgomery's been probably the hottest back in football, other than Derrick Henry. Senior, you've been anti-Bears all season. You begrudgingly gave him a little respect last week. I assume the win over Jacksonville, you probably don't put too much stock in. Give me your analysis of this game. Do you think with Green Bay going for it, which they're going to be, do you think the Bears have a chance to win?
Yeah, it's very slim. But yeah, Green Bay, Matt LaFleur said this is a playoff game. I mean, they are going all in, and they're playing real well. I mean, that game last week is crazy because it's the first time I've ever seen the Green Bay run defense look so good. And I would have thought, when I saw the weather, I would have thought, even though it's a road game, this weather, we all thought it, right? This could favor Tennessee, with team with a power running game in the freezing cold, and it just didn't go that way. They didn't totally shut Henry down. He got 100 yards, but he had to carry the ball a lot to get it. They played great on defense. And I think their defense has the same kind of job. They're not good against the run, and their key, the way that they could lose to the Bears is if they let Montgomery run wild and control the clock and keep Aaron off the field. So that's the only way they lose, and I don't think they're going to let that happen. I think the defense will slow Montgomery down enough, and everybody loves the, you know, the Bears defense. I don't see them stopping this Packer offense right now. They're clicking on all cylinders. They got the running game going, and Aaron is probably playing at this age. He's probably never played better in his career than he is this year. And a game this big, like if this, it literally is what LaFleur is saying is true. As far as they're viewing it, it's a playoff game. I don't see the Packers losing a playoff game to the Bears. With all due respect to the Bears, it's going to cost them the playoffs, and they're playing well enough now to be in the playoffs, and maybe they did at the beginning of the season. But that ridiculous six-game losing streak, if you just win one of those games, you're in a completely different situation now, right? You wouldn't have to win this game.
The Lions game.
Yeah, that Lions one.
There you go. You lose to the Lions. There you go. So, the Bears, nice run for a couple of weeks with Mitch. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs, and you're going to be watching from home. You'll be on the couch like the rest of us.
Ouch. John, you think you got anything different there, or are you also in on Green Bay?
Not quite as harsh, but yeah, I'm in on Green Bay. Because even in that Jacksonville game was close the first half. Some of the Bears, our Bears nation, were a little nervous that first half. Of course, every week, even in that wins, though, Mitch throws a true biscuit or two up there.
That one play was real.
Yeah. And in order to beat the Pack, he's going to have to play a clean, perfect game, which it seems to be impossible for him. And like you said, they're going to rue that Detroit game. Even though it was, of course, it came down to Mitch's turnover at the end. But that game, he still put up 30, and the defense let Detroit put up points on him.
38,
so
right, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to rue that game. But there is a hope, though. If Montgomery really gets it going, and Allen Robinson has been making some plays at the receiver, so because maybe that Tennessee game might have been a little Tennessee saw that the Colts lost earlier, so the motivation went down. They went out there. They're like, maybe we don't want to be out here in the snow because we can win it next week. We got to, you know, we could clinch the division next week. We had an easy game, so I don't think the Titans were as motivated. So I think that score was inflated because of that. But it does look like the Packers are peaking at the right time, and Yeah. I don't see it happening. Sorry, Bears.
I think they have a shot at home, but I don't know if I'll go so far. I don't think I can go so far as to pick them, but I don't think it'll be a blowout or anything. Part of me wants to pick them, but because I do think that I do think.
Oh, it is in Soldier. That's right. It is in Soldier Field. Sure.
The way Montgomery's playing seems like it would be kind of the recipe to beat the Packers. And then Mitch's legs, the Packers historically give up a lot of rushing yards to the quarterback as well. But Rodgers is just playing too good. Like, I mean, he's going to win the MVP and he deserves it. And that Rodgers to Adams connection. Like, I think this could be a bit of a shootout, but it's just like you said, John, if it's a close game at the end, as much as Mitch has improved, he's probably not ready to outduel Aaron Rodgers. Like, if it comes down to who's going to make a mistake, it's probably going to be Mitch.
Yeah, so, this is one of those where the current times, man, the Bears could have got that boost from the fans, you know, if they were right. Fans in the stadium. That's what it really could have made them pull that upset. So without it, I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, though, Mitch has been better without the fans.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, when he throws up one of those true biscuits, they turn on him real quick. They're ready to shout Watson and Mahomes in his face real quick.
But, I mean, it's something we can talk about. So, Chicago kind of has to, like, they should try to bring him back, right?
Yeah, they could franchise him and just do a year at a time. I mean, they didn't... After the 4 years, they didn't sign him, you know, to the extension after the 4 years. So they could string him along for another year on the franchise.
Yeah. Senior, I don't know. You got to, with your new microphone, if you like, rub your shirt against it or something, like, it creates this very loud noise that everybody hears. To say
okay.
That.
But that's going to be up to the...
I'll try to sit still.
That's going to be up to the management, whether they, if they go with the new coach or a new GM or whatever, then they're going to make that decision whether they want to stick with the
he's going
a different direction.
Yeah. You wouldn't have said it at the beginning of the year, right? But he's better than like Jameis or Mariota, these guys.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting. Maybe guys like Stafford, Ryan, they make that trade for the big dogs like that. There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks available that can win. Like with that defense, they may say, "Hey, we might go for a Ryan for 1 or 2 years and lay out that money."
I mean, if so, I wouldn't mind seeing Mitch in New England, right, Senior?
I don't know.
It's better quarterback play than what you got this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see us draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
In the early rounds. That's just my opinion. That's what I'm hoping for. You know, you got a better chance of really hitting a home run there. I mean, let's face it, with Mitch, there's a ceiling. You know, you draft a quarterback and you have higher hopes.
Yeah, those turnovers are bring the perception of him really down. That's the only thing.
And Brett Favre used to do that all the time.
If he could clean that up, yeah.
He's not making the dynamic plays that Brett Favre made. I know he threw a lot of picks. He was a gunslinger, but Mitch's arm isn't doing what Brett Favre's arm did to kind of make up for some of those picks.
Ryder, you like the Packers as well in this one?
Yes.
Big or tight?
Big.
Ryder's with Senior. Packers big. Nah. I mean, that's definitely possible because if they jump out on him, you could see Mitch getting a little deer in the headlights.
I think they'll keep it close at home. They'll keep it close in Chicago.
All right, so what we're saying here is we all of us pick Cardinals, Rams to make the playoffs. John really, really begrudgingly picked the Cardinals. almost so begrudgingly that if they lose, he can kind of say he didn't pick them.
Hopefully Kingsbury can beat an AAF quarterback, but with him, I doubt it. If anybody could botch, and if anybody could botch that one, it's Kingsbury.
The biggest drama, though, is who is going to win the NFC East. So it had to come down this way. We're in the last week of the season. Three of the four teams are still alive, and they're playing each other. So we have at 1 o'clock Sunday, Cowboys at Giants. Winner stays alive. The Cowboys surprised a lot of people last week with their dynamic offensive performance against Philadelphia, where, you know, bluntly, Andy Dalton outplayed Hurts. I mean, just Andy Dalton outplayed Hurts. Zeke, maybe because of all the Tony Pollard stuff, Zeke, I think this is probably says negative thing. It's more of a negative that, hey, Zeke was motivated. It's kind of like what it looked like out there, which really makes it look like, hey, Zeke didn't really give a shit for the 5 weeks before that. But he was motivated, and he looked like the real Ezekiel Elliott for the first time since Dak went down. The Giants, we knew they were in a tough spot in that game, and it ended up being a tough spot for them. They had chances, but could only muster 13 against Baltimore's D. The Giants' D played all right. But really, it's an interesting game because you got to think that the two main things in this game, right, are the Giants' D and Dallas' offense. For the Giants to win, they got to hold them to like 21, right, I think. Even though the Cowboys' defense isn't great, the Giants' offense hasn't been playing real well. You would think the Giants' D has a chance to do that against Dalton. Everybody's going to be picking the Cowboys in this game because of how they looked against the Eagles. I'm going the other way. Defense wins divisions. Defense wins the NFC East. The Giants leave this game alive. 22-21. Nail biter. John.
No, I can't do it because the Giants defense hasn't brought it since that Seattle game. I think that Seattle game, they just emptied the whole tank, and that was it. They have nothing left. Ever since then, the defense has regressed. They're not getting to the quarterback like they did that game versus Wilson. But both lines play, both the defense and the offensive line play have disintegrated since that Seattle game. They emptied the tank in that game, and the lack of talent is shining through. But that is their only path to victory. They have to get to Dalton because the Cowboys' offensive line did a tremendous job. And also in that Eagle game, I think it was Fletcher Cox, I think, went down, who's a big part of that of getting to the quarterback. So, and then they didn't get no hurries on Dalton at all. Dalton had a clean pocket and was able to just throw it up there and have his pick of Gallup and Lamb and Cooper. So If the Giants can get to him, they can make a game out. And also, the Giants have gotten away from their running game, surprisingly. They have to pound the ball and keep it on the ground because Dallas's run defense has been kind of weak. But I don't see it happening. I think the Cowboys are going to make enough plays, and the Dallas are going to pull through on this.
It's in New York. Nah. A little winter time. This is just my. I could
Sunday,
see.
Sunday, I think it's going to be 50 Sunday. Weather's not going to be a factor.
If you pick Dallas, it's a talent pick, right? Because Dallas just has more talent than the Giants. They just do. They have a better roster, especially yeah. Dallas's offense. But I'm a styles make fights guy, and the Giants are really built. Like, if they're going to win a game, Dallas is like the kind of team that they can beat because they're very similar to Seattle in a lot of ways. The Giants should be able to run on them, even though the running game hasn't looked as good in the last couple of weeks. It doesn't need to be that good to be successful against Dallas. Bad run defense. And I think they can put a little pressure on Dalton. It's Andy Dalton in New York on the road in a big game. And I know, you know, like the Giants should have Like, the game plan should be to have Jones throw, like, as little as possible. Like, just grind it out.
Yeah, he's still hurt. He can't. He hasn't run since he come back. He's still bothered by that hamstring.
And let's face it.
Yeah, 100% healthy Jones hasn't been that great either. But unfortunately, yeah, the weather's not going to really affect it. But besides, Dalton is used to that. He played in bad weather in Cincinnati. But Sunday, it's going to be in the 40s. Maybe some rain.
We'll see.
They got to get pressure. If they get pressure on him, they could force a couple turns. But they haven't gotten near the quarterback since that game in Seattle. They haven't forced any turnovers from Kyler, Baker, and last week Lamar. They haven't touched the quarterback since the Seattle game. So
those
it's not
are
looking
different.
Good for the G men. Yeah.
I mean those are better. Better.
Yeah,
better.
Yeah, and more mobile. Yeah. So if they could get to it, sure, that would be the path to victory if they could get to Dalton.
Senior.
Yeah, exactly. They have to. The Giants would have to, and hopefully they will, totally commit to their running game. Don't give up on it. Pound the Wayne train. Pound Alf. And keep that. I mean, that. I know it's Andy Dalton, but he seems to be getting more comfortable in that offense. And
yeah, he's got three stud receivers.
Yeah. He's got as good a trio of receivers as there is in the league. He's got two really good running backs, and he seems to be executing. So two ways to beat him. Number one, you put pressure on him. Number two, you keep him off the field by pounding the Wayne train and Alf. All that being said, my gut feeling tells me that the Cowboys are playing better right now. Season of ebbs and flows for both teams, and the Cowboys are in a better place right now. So I'm not saying I don't think the Giants have a chance. That's their path. Pound the rock. Get after Dalton. Win a low-scoring game. But my gut tells me, from a guy who's been watching games, that the Cowboys just have a little too much for them, that the talent takes over. Dalton's not a stiff. It's not like we're talking about a Mason Rudolph or Matt Barkley or something. You know, this is a backup quarterback with a track record. And okay, maybe he's played some bad games in his life, but he can execute with that offense. If he's given time to throw the ball, he's having fun with those guys now. So I see the Giants with a possibility, but I'm going to say 27-13 Cowboys.
So you talk about, we'll talk about track record. The track record says Andy Dalton loses this game. The track record says the Dallas Cowboys lose this game. They lose this game every single year, right? The track record says that Jason Garrett costs them this game.
The other thing,
I mean, it's so poetic. It would be so poetic for Garrett to screw him one more time.
He hasn't sparked the offense all year, so why would he start now? The offense has actually been worse since last year, since Garrett's taken over. So that's a non-starter for me. I'm not impressed with anything Garrett's brought this year. So, I don't think it's going to matter, because as we're going to get to with the next game, I think the next game is going to go the other way, so it's not really going to matter.
And if you're right about that, that's what I was about to say. The whole thing about this being a big, big game, a year or two from now, when we're talking about track record, whoever blows this or wins it, if the Washington football team wins, this will be forgotten.
Yeah,
you won't even remember this as a big game anymore.
Yeah, but it's good how they did it. It's good how they scheduled it, because it will
be
at one.
That's right, because they're not going to know. That was really good scheduling. I agree.
Right, I'm going with the G-men. Ryder, who do you like, Dallas or the Giants?
Dallas.
I'm happy to be on this island. Happy to be on the island.
Wayne train.
Shame to yourself. Yeah. Man, let's get to the last meaningful game.
The last game of the year.
Washington football team going to Philadelphia. The WFT reeling. How many chances are they going to have to win the division? They win and it's over, just like last week. So they've cut Dwayne Haskins. after starting him in that must-win game. They pulled him at halftime and then cut him after the game, which I get. I hope the kid catches on somewhere. He seems like he just might be a guy who's not very good, and he doesn't, you know, he's just, like Senior kind of said it last week, he's not good enough to be making some of the off-the-field mistakes that he's made. He's, you know, like a little Jamarcus Russell-y.
And I think Rivera saw Heineke play for a quarter, and he realized that he could do without him, that Heineken is serviceable enough, that there's not much difference between him. You know, actually,
Heineke gave him a little spark.
Yeah. So once he saw that, and plus it looks like Smith is going to play or is leaning towards it. But anyway, once he saw that, he said Heineken's going to play my last game anyway, so there's no need keeping Haskins around. So that gave him the security to just cut him.
Against Philly. You know,
Heineke certainly has more mobility. Haskins isn't very mobile. Heineke looked like he could move around pretty good and do some things with his legs.
And yeah, I think
with the green bottle.
Rivera inherited him, so it's kind of a power play by
organization.
Him.
Organization, yeah.
I think it's good that they put the organization in the hands of Rivera. And I think it sets a good tone. But, I mean, you've seen guys have off-the-field stuff and then catch on somewhere else. He'll definitely get another chance as the first-round pick. He'll at least get a chance to be a backup somewhere. And
well,
I hope
somebody could have picked him right away. I'm surprised, it's too late. You can't, especially in these times, you can't just throw a quarterback in and have him learn the offense for one game. But that would have been something
Rams?
For Rams. It can't happen, man. Just like we discussed that, and also that goes back to like
would you pick the Rams if Haskins was playing quarterback instead of Wolford, John?
That goes back to when Tua took over the job, and Twitter blew up with the Fitzpatrick to the Cowboys nonsense. You see why? That's why they kept. That's why you keep Fitz. That's why there's no trades like that happen.
But and then Philly played a bad game against Dallas defensively. I mean, they really looked like a sieve, their pass defense.
Once Fletcher Cox went down.
But to me, again, I'm going to end up being on the island here, but it's the same kind of thing where styles make fights. Like with Hurts, the Philly offense has been a better than serviceable. They've been good with Hurts. And I know that WFT has a good defense, but I think Hurts' mobility will help against that pass rush.
But you saw
I think Philly can get to 24, and I don't know that Washington can get to 24, so I'm going to pick Philly.
No way. You saw that at Dallas, whose defense is about a quarter as good as Washington. They were starting to get some pressure on Hurts and forced them to a couple turnovers. What do you think the WFT is going to do with a tremendously better defense than Dallas? They're really going to put a hurt on Hurts and force them into more turnovers. So I say there's no way. I'm going WFT.
It's more of a pick against WFT in there. I mean, I respect what they've done there. They were supposed to be 2-14, but that offense. I mean, it's either going to be a banged up Alex Smith or
But I think
it's anemic.
I think with these teams that are all, you know, the NFC least is also bad, but the one thing that is like a top five unit in the whole entire NFL is that Washington defense, and that's going to carry them. That's the only shining light of the division. But that can carry them, and that could even carry them into an upset playoff a game because that unit is so great. Chase Young can turn a game around by himself without having the ball.
I think they need to be a little more healthy on offense. Like if they have their horses. But I
agree that the offense is total shit. But that defense is so overwhelming that they can win a game by themselves, especially versus a checked out Philly team. WFT strong.
I get it. I mean, it's like they have a top five defense, and honestly, right now, as constructed, it might be the worst offense in the whole NFL. Right? Who's worse?
Yeah, have you seen a Giant game lately? Have you seen a Giant game in the last 3 weeks?
I think the Giants have a better offense than the WFT with Heineke.
I don't know. Logan Thomas has been very impressive. As a matter of fact, Logan Thomas should have made the Pro Bowl over Engram.
He got peppered with targets in that Seattle game where Seattle just couldn't put him away. Anyway, I'm gonna take Philly, which means I'm picking the Giants to win the division.
Senior.
Cowboy's going to be on another island. I agree with John. I really like that Washington front with and going against an inexperienced quarterback with the team that's got to be disappointed too. That, you know, it's only last week getting eliminated, where Washington has all everything to play for. And Alex Smith will run the offense good enough to get some points against Philly, and when they're probably going to get some good field positions. Washington starting with some short fields. Their defense will deliver that to them a number of times probably in the game. And yeah, that front is so good. Yeah. Washington football team, definitely.
There you go. So, I mean, they did, again, similar to the Browns. They were in this situation last week in an easier game and lost.
No, I wouldn't say easy. I think Carolina's a tougher game than Philly.
Come on.
A home. What's the difference? There's no fans. What's the difference whether you're home or away? What's the difference? Mm.
I don't.
Carolina's a better team than Philly. Come on.
It's close if they are. But all right. Okay, Ryder, are you leaving me on the island, or do you like Philly in this game? Washington or Philly? Ryder's leaving me on the island.
All right.
Screw all you guys.
I'll be so glad if I get the I told you so text from Roger at like 11:15 on Sunday night. usually that annoys me, but this time I'll be elated if that happens.
It's coming.
But also for respectability, at least it wouldn't be, if Washington won, they could save the division from not having the worst team that had at least a 7-9. It was done before by Carolina. I mean, yeah, Seattle did it. And also the year Carolina, both the years where the division was won by a less than 8-8 team. It was Seattle 7-9. They beat New Orleans the first round. And when Carolina won a division at 7-8-1, they also won the first round versus who, Roger?
Big Red.
What? Big Red. Wasn't that the Ryan Lindley game?
That was the Ryan Lindley game. Yeah, that was crap.
That's more like
both teams that won with under 500 record have won in the first round. But this year, that's going to come to an end if they play Tampa the first round.
I mean, you got the narrative built in again. The Giants taking out Brady in the playoffs.
They played them tough that week, but that's another team. We haven't even discussed them. They're rolling at the right time. They're peaking at the right time.
They do look
good. That was a pretty good half.
They scare me. Like if they play really bad sometimes, and it seems like so if they have one of those shit halves that they have in the playoffs, you know, it's tough.
I think they're peaking at the right time. And also, they're not going to fear going into Lambeau Field because the quarterback, I think he's played in a bad weather game or two in his career.
Oh, the NFC, NFC is totally wide open. Open. The AFC, I think it's real tough to not pick Kansas City or Buffalo. But the NFC, I think outside of the NFC East winner, I mean, really, I mean, I guess the Cardinals or the Bears. Hey, Lilo.
Seattle Saints and Green Bay. And if the Rams get in there, and they're going to get Goff back.
They have a good defense.
Yeah.
But we shall see. So I think next week will be our big playoff preview. We're getting this to you guys earlier. We're recording this on Wednesday, so we'll should have it posted by Thursday, I would say. So give a listen. Send us your feedback.
Next week, we're going to have six games. That first round is going to be friggin' three on Saturday and three on Sunday. How delectable is that?
It works.
Yeah.
If you had any more doubts about that Browns-Steelers game, we just heard it right here. The dog pound wins.
There you go, Senior.
Big dog. Lilo is letting you know.
There we go. Lilo is Lilo, the official dog of the show. There she is.
There you go. Browns all the way. This was an omen.
All right, guys, on that note, we're going to sign off. So for Mr. D'Amato, for Senior, and for my best buddy, Ryder, I'm a cowboy. Enjoy the games this week. And for Lilo, we are out of here.
Happy New Year.
Baker and the Browns.